I think the continuous diagnostics and mitigation program is going extremely well. We do not have any delays in our schedule. Departments and agencies are clamoring for CDM, as it's known. Our biggest problem right now is increasingly departments and agencies realize how incredibly useful this is going to be, and they all want to be first in line. So honestly, one of our biggest challenges is coming up with a fair and equitable way of determining who's first in line. We've done that now. We're moving forward. It gets into the procurement process, so I'm not going to go into deep detail other than to say that we're in great shape.
I've seen the layout for CDM in terms of the phase one, phase two, phase three approaches. I think DHS headquarters is in phase one. I know that's outside of your realm, but can you just give me a sense of, from your perspective, you said it's going well. What is happening through phase one in terms of the sensors and the tools and the capabilities that are being implemented? That is all working as expected?
So right now, we're fairly early in the process, and it gets into some governmentese, but essentially, we've broken this down into multiple task orders. Task order one has already been issued, and essentially the tools and services have been bought, but not necessarily deployed. And that's for a number of different departments and agencies, not just DHS as a user. We are now working on task order two. We're still at the earlier stages of that task order, and so we haven't yet finalized the purchase of tools or capabilities, but that's going to be happening, and we'll be rolling those out over the next year or so.
And just to be clear on this, and then we can move on, the task order two is what the reports are that was delayed. Is that maybe taking a little longer? But it's not necessarily quote unquote delayed. It's just you got to get it right, and better to get it right than get it quick.
That's right. Task order two is, I think, what the report's referring to. I'll be honest, I don't know of anything that suggests that task order two is delayed. I think we're on schedule. I think there are plenty of folks who wish that we could do it faster. Could have done it yesterday, in fact, because it's an amazing program. But that's not the reality. We do have to make sure that we're doing this right, and that capabilities and tools that we're getting are the tools and capabilities that departments and agencies need.
I know when I talk to CIOs quite often, almost everyone talks about CDM and the anticipation of the tools it can bring to them. So that leads us down the other path of some of the other tools that are out there, like Einstein 3A or even the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services. So let's start with Einstein. What's the status of that? It's one program that's been around for several years now. It's hard to get a sense of the progress it's making.
So let me talk first about what the Einstein program is. There are actually three different Einsteins, Einstein 1, 2, and 3. Einstein 1, the analogy is that it's like the logbook in a building. When you go in and out of the building, you record who you're going to see, what time it was. Einstein 1 does that for traffic going between the internet and the federal government, but only for the data, obviously. Einstein 2 is like that, but with an alarm system. It takes the data in the logbook, compares it against a list of known bad attempts at intrusions, you name it, and then it sounds an alarm if it detects that somebody's trying to break in. Einstein 3 is like a guard. It doesn't just sound the alarm. It actually stops the bad traffic from entering the government's networks. So Einstein 3 is now deployed and covers about 25% of the government by people. And this, I should note, is the civilian government. So it's not the Department of Defense. It's not the intelligence community. So Einstein 3 covers 25% of the government by people. It's doing a great job. The agencies where it's deployed really love it. We're getting very positive feedback. So now we're doing two things. One is we're working with service providers to extend the coverage to the rest of civilian government. Two, Einstein 3 is really composed of a number of different countermeasures. It can block this type of attack and that type of attack. And what we're working is with the existing providers to add new types of attacks for Einstein 3 to block. So we're both making it more capable, and then we're covering more of the federal government.
From a time frame standpoint, do you have a sense that you'd like to get the Einstein 3 deployed more broadly over the next 6 months, over the next year? Is it really dependent as well on funding? Is that a obstacle?
Right now, to date, we've been funded in the Einstein 3 program, so that has not been a challenge, and obviously we hope that that will remain the case moving forward. One of the interesting things about the Einstein program is the way we structured it. We did all the work in advance of issuing the contract. So all of the challenges have been challenges prior to issuing contracts. And what that has meant is we haven't gone over budget at all. But when we have had something crop up that was unexpected, it's cost us in schedule. And so the schedule's been pushed back rather than it costing us more money. And there are obviously pros and cons to that. We took this approach because Einstein 3 was a totally different way of doing government security. We knew it was novel. We knew that there were going to be some challenges we didn't expect and that we'd have to deal with those when they came up. you know, is it going to be some time before we've completely covered the government? Absolutely. But I think the important thing to me is the fact that we are now covering, like I said, a quarter of the government and making a concrete difference every day.
Let me shift over to the Enhanced Cybersecurity Services Program. There's been some concerns about the CSPs, the service providers, who are kind of providing that service to other vendors. Has DHS heard those concerns? Let me start there. And then what are you doing to maybe try to alleviate them or improve the program a little bit? Because the sharing of information from the government to vendors and vice versa is one of your top priorities.
So let me tell you a bit about what Enhanced Cybersecurity Services, or ECS, is designed to do. The government has classified information about different ways that we can be attacked or that people can commit espionage against us through the internet. Some of that information has to be classified. We've tried sharing it with the private sector before. The bad guys find out, they change their behavior, and it stops being worthwhile. But if we never share it, then we don't get any value out of it. So we're stuck between this rock and a hard place where if we share the information, it becomes useless. If we don't share it, it's not entirely useless because we can protect the government, but that's not our job. Our job is to help protect the entire nation. So ECS is designed to solve that problem. So we think the ECS program is going to be a great offering for companies, private sector entities, academia, you name it, to get this service to secure themselves against the bad actors in cyberspace. Now, the program started off as a pilot. And when we did the pilot, we assessed it, right? That's what you do with a pilot. You see, did the pilot meet every goal that it was intended to meet? And we found some shortcomings, and we've been working since to address them. I think there is still a remaining concern about ECS. A lot of that, I think, is from folks who heard about the problems of the pilot and don't know how much we've done since then to improve. We have done, for example, we're constantly looking at the data that's inside of ECS to say, look, is it actually unique? We don't need to be providing information that's already in the private sector. So if it's not unique, we're not providing any value add. And the good news is the last assessment we did, absolutely, we have unique data in there. Is providing a lot of value. But we're continuing to look at that.
Well, let me jump in real quick. When was the last assessment? Was it a month ago? Was it 6 months ago? Give me a time frame.
The assessment that we have most recently complete is already a little bit dated. And when we did that assessment, we did show that we were providing value. And so we're doing another assessment now and really mean to move towards an ongoing way of assessing it. One of the challenges here is the data doesn't actually lend itself to easy comparison. Unique compared to what? Well, compared to what the private sector has. Well, who in the private sector? How many companies' data do we have to look at before we're comfortable that this is unique? And so we're wrestling with those questions. And we'd like to get to a point where this analysis happens continuously and in an automated fashion. We're not there yet, but I think that's a little bit in the weeds. Taking a step back, the real question is, does the program right now provide value to its customers? That's obviously a decision they'll have to make, but we're confident that it's a great program. It's got good data in it, and there's unique information there that would be useful for protecting customers.
I think what's the concern is that I've heard is that the CSPs are charging other people, but they don't feel like there's value because to go through the process to be a CSP is very expensive, or at least there's a cost to it, and then the chargeback model is not quite working well or is not quite something that the vendors believe is good enough. Because I think you only have one or two CSPs. Now, maybe you have more now, but last time I heard, there was only a very small amount.
We do only have two approved CSPs right now. That's not because of a lack of demand, however. We actually have a really long queue of organizations that have volunteered and signed up to become a CSP. One of our challenges right now is that there's more demand to be a CSP than we had anticipated, actually. But I think what you're really saying is this a successful business model for CSPs? Can they make a profit on this? And that's something that we hope will be the case, right? We think that there is value in using this information to protect companies. But ultimately, you know, we're going to look to the market to innovate around this information, to provide add-on services, to find different ways for their customers to pay for it. And we are not involved in the pricing, and we're not involved in getting people to sign up for this program. We are feeding a market, and the CSPs have to go out and find the customers. And that's not a criticism of the CSPs. It's a new program. It's going to take a while for people to understand the value that's out there. But I do think there is that value, and we see a lot of demand to be a CSP. So that suggests to me that the market is large.